Welcome to Food Rebels. This is the podcast that brings you brands, chef and live on-air tastings, a show that is dedicated to the more rebellious side of the food world, where we celebrate the people who have challenged the status quo. You know me, I'm the show host, AJ Sharp, taste expert, food writer, great taste judge, other food awards judge, business owner, and with
just
me...
Just a great judge.
Just very judgy.
Very judgy.
Very judgy. And with me, we have our also sometimes judgy... co-host and presenter Georgie Parsons. Welcome.
Hi.
Great to have you here. We're doing sweet treats today,
which, as
we know, with your low sugar diet, this is the perfect show for you. But it is really genuinely the perfect show for me because I have a huge sweet tooth. So I'm delighted at the heaving studio table covered in chocolate and macarons and all sorts of my favourite foods.
My daughter absolutely loves macarons, so she will be very excited to hear that I've tasted these today.
Can't beat a macaron, and I eat chocolate probably every day of my life. Even the chromium does not help with that. On the show, we've got a couple of experts here. We've got Ollie Shorts from Seed and Bean. Welcome, Ollie.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit about Seed and Bean, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So we make delicious chocolate, but what we do is we like to do... and things a little bit different. So we have our flavours that you're not expecting to get with many chocolate brands. So we have a coconut and raspberry, we've got a mandarin and ginger. We've added lime into our sea salt bar. So we want to be unique and different when it comes to our flavour combinations. But as well as that, we're very ethical in what we do. So we're organic, we're fair trade, and we also have fully compostable inner foil. So we're the first UK confectionery brand to actually have... totally plastic-free foil, making it home compostable. So that's what we do and that's what we're about.
Amazing. Love it. Really cool. And Laura joins us today from Laura Hickman from Little Miss Macarons. Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell me a bit about Little Miss Macarons?
Yes, I'm a self-taught French macaron maker. There are three different types of macaron, but I'm a French specialist. And I realised there was a bit of a niche in my local market. There was nobody selling them. And it took me years to learn how to make them because they are very finicky little desserts. Yeah, I moved in, I got divorced, moved in, realised I needed a new avenue to go in. And I worked really hard and learned how to make them and then realised that people around me really wanted them, were really interested in buying them. So now I've extended, I've got a website and I'm starting to ship them nationwide, which is very exciting.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to quiz you more about that in just a minute. Brilliant. Well, welcome to both of you. Ollie, let's start with Seed and Bean. You said you've got really unusual flavour combinations. What's the thinking behind that?
It's just about looking at the chocolate world and what everybody's doing. And there's a lot of different percentages, you know, darks from X location at 70% to 100%. But there's just not many brands that are just doing really innovative, exciting flavours that, you know, flavours that you just see in your kitchen. You know, we have a lavender bar, you know, we got the espresso bar. And, you know, these are, not many brands are just really going a little bit crazy when it comes to flavours. So we just want to be exciting, colourful in what we do, making sure that when you go into the supermarket, whether you go into your farm shop, your deli or whatever, you know, there's lots of chocolate to pick. And a lot of people will always, you know, gravitate to the brands that they know. So when you see a new brand out there that they might not have seen, let's just do something super exciting, be innovative with our flavours. And get people trying the chocolate.
Delicious. And can I, so on the front of it, it says wild and organic. So what's the wild bit?
The wild bit is just the flavours.
Oh, okay. So,
it. Okay. There's, you know, obviously you've got your cocoa, which is grown in the wild. you can. There's lots of ways
free
to skin
range.
It. To skin it. Yeah.
Free so cocoa.
So the wild bit is like, well, we can kind of say that it's, you know, obviously it's grown where it is.
Where is it grown?
We have our milk chocolate, which will be from the Dominican Republic. Some of our dark is from Ecuador and Sao Tome. It just depends. Different percentages come from different locations. But yeah, that's kind of like the wild aspect about flavours.
Is that because the beans grown in different places produce different types of chocolate?
Yeah, it's everything. It's the soil, it's the sun. It's, you know, chocolate is very much like coffee, wine, whiskey, you know, single origin, whether it's a blended whiskey and stuff like this. Everybody, you know, everyone thinks they're the expert and everyone can be an expert in it. So we want to just be a little bit playful with what we do because there's so much competition. How do you differentiate yourself? Well, let's just do flavors that a little bit unusual, a little bit different, and people will pick them up, they'll love them, but sometimes we also just want a plain caramel bar or a plain sea salt bar and just a single, you know, 72% dark chocolate. We also do that as well, okay. But it's all about just playing with flavours.
Well, this first one I've tried,
oh my God, I'm loving
it. That I love tangy things.
It's really different. Taste.
And that lime and sea salt is good. Delicious. Oh my goodness.
This is one of those flavours that people are just like, what's the one? I love milk chocolate. I've got a real sweet tooth. So I always gravitate to our milk chocolate rather than our dark. But everyone's like, what flavour? And I'm like, sea salt and lime.
Their
face changes because they're like, lime and chocolate. You can't imagine it works. It is so good.
You get like a lime and chocolate puddings.
You used to get those sweets. Weren't there back it shows my age. You're right. Spoiled there sweets, were. The lime and chocolate.
Mm. You're right.
I don't remember.
It's quite reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would go into a shop and necessarily pick that off the shelf.
Oh, I would.
And I would now.
No, but before I would have picked because I really like citrus flavours, so that would have really piqued my interest.
Well, I think the lime and sea salt, I'd have just been a bit like, what is it, tequila? I don't understand.
Well, yes.
Having tasted it, it is absolutely delicious.
Absolutely
it works
delicious.
So well. The lime and the chocolate together are
really does.
Really zingy, nice. Really exciting.
Nice. So you've got some great taste awards here. Have you put this one in for a great taste?
We have. Oh God, it's definitely got a great taste, but many, many, many years ago.
Okay, so you need to re-put that
one back
in.
Yeah, we need to. I think
you need to re-put that one back in again.
We might have this year, but I think we've also put the caramel in this year. We've got loads of flavours. Like right now we're at 15, but at the peak of our flavour profiles, we had 21 flavours.
Oh, wow.
So like we only put in a few at a time. So yes, the sea salt and lime, 100% has Great Taste Award. I have no idea what year it was awarded, but many, many years ago.
This is just amazing. So we're just tasting the, what is this?
This is the
chocolate. Mandarin and ginger. Which is a dark chocolate from the Dominican Republic, 72% cocoa. Mm. Really clearly a lot darker than than the lime one that we just tried. What do you make of it, Laura?
My palate, I tend to prefer milk chocolates to dark, but that being said, you can definitely get the ginger coming through. I love ginger in anything. Mm. And I think it's beautiful.
It's got a lovely sweetness,
when you smell
hasn't
it? You almost smell it like you'd smell a wine or a coffee and you kind of get some sort of, it's different, isn't
it's
it?
It's a sort of really black fruit smell on the aroma.
I find
there.
I eat different types of chocolate at different times of day if I do have it. So I'd have a piece of dark chocolate after a meal at night maybe. I don't know why, I just kind of gravitate towards that rather than a sweetie, milkier one. And this is, I love ginger and actually I really like orange, so this is beautiful.
But it's a young ginger chocolate. Do you know what I mean? Like my grandmother always had ginger chocolate at home with big chunks of ginger in it.
Or like crystallised.
Crystallised with sort of sugar chunks. And for me, that reminded me of a certain demographic of person. This doesn't taste anything like that. It is ginger and it is chocolate, but there aren't big chunks in there. It's smooth. Yeah, that orange flavour gives it a sweetness, even though the chocolate actually tastes.
Nothing should be too overpowering. You're buying a bar of chocolate. Mm. You know, you want to have that taste of chocolate, that cocoa, that sweetness, the slight bitterness as well if you're going for the dark chocolate. And then, just a hint of flavour. You don't need to be too overpowering because no one wants to bite into a bar of chocolate and have this like just absolute like overpowering ginger flavor. That's not what it's about, and it's got to be subtle enough that it just works with the percentage and the chocolate as well.
So do you make it in the UK?
Everything is made at the moment in Northamptonshire in Corby. Never go to Corby. It's like literally dwarfed by the Weetabix factory and we have a little factory there as well making our chocolate. So that's where it's made. Everything's in the UK. All the ingredients, a lot of them come from the UK when we can. You know, some of them we can't get from the UK. So our coconut flavour doesn't come from the UK, and our raspberries come from France. But everything's 100% organic, so it becomes super difficult to actually look at flavours and see, well, what can we do? Because sometimes we just can't get organic flavours.
So it's all organic?
Everything is 100% organic. So the caramel that we've got, that took me years and years to actually find an organic caramel.
So it's a pre-made caramel, is it?
Yeah, it's just a caramel flavouring. So that's actually like liquid caramel that's sort of gone into the chocolate, the one that you've got, which is our rich milk caramel. And then we also have a salted caramel and a dark chocolate, which has actually got little pieces of caramel. Mm. So different bars will have different bits of caramel in them, whether it's, you know, actually the liquid caramel or whether it's actually little chunks and you get that little crispy crunch of the caramel. And then the lime is a flavour rather than the actual lime, so it's the essential oil.
It's an essence, a lime essence.
So every flavour is different, and we've got to try different things to see what works. You know, when the caramel one's like, well, do we put in chunks of caramel? Do we put, you know, what do we do? Is it going to be the liquid form? Is it just going to be a flavour? You've got to try them all out and just work out which works best.
They're all delicious. Oh my goodness, I'm totally blown away by them.
Do you have like focus groups then, or do you test them, or do you just use friends and family and get everyone in?
Yeah, it's pretty much friends and family and, you know, people I work with in the office. We have some buttons. We're doing a salted caramel button. I actually have some samples here with me. They're in my bag. And after the show, I'll ask everyone for their opinion. It's all about...
Always getting data.
It's all about asking, you know, if we do focus groups, is, you know, sometimes it's like too many chefs.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone's got
an opinion. And exactly. It's never going to be like, you know, all we need is like four or five people. Does this work? Yeah, it works. Let's take it on to the next stage.
And why did the company start in the first place? Did you start it?
So my dad came home one day and just put some chocolate in front of me. We were having dinner. My mum was there. I don't know where my sister was. And he was like, this has been introduced to this chocolate. What do you think? And it was just, at the time, you know, it was just amazing. It was the best chocolate, you know, that we tasted. And could obviously continues to be the best chocolate we've tasted. Obviously. But we were like, well, what can we do with it? Is there something that we can do? And so we were like, yeah, we can. So we took the company and have grown it ever since. And we went full time about 7-8 years ago. And just continued to grow. We've had, you know, some tough times. Brexit caused us big issues.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, things are going good. And that's how, yeah, it was a dinner with my dad, really. And my mum was there as well.
And so you've got this compostable lining.
Yes.
You can just throw that straight in your home compost.
Home compost, yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
And how long does it take to break down?
Because it looks like
about
a foil.
About 2 to 3 weeks. Really? Yeah, it looks like a foil. Feels like a bit plasticky.
Yeah.
The amount of people that we get messaging us is
Are you sure?
They're like, you say you're ethical and I have this plastic foil. And I'm like, no. It's fully home compostable. Mm. We do have it, you know, we feature it on the front of the pack now. Beforehand, we didn't have it on the front of pack. I think we had it on the back of pack. And even before that, we probably just had it on our website.
Yeah,
Everything changes. Yeah. Like the whole when it comes to food and drink and what people are looking for, you know, those trends change. So at the start, when we first did it, you know, no one really was interested in, you know, a compostable foil. Like, what is it? What does it mean? Exactly. Like, we don't care. Like, talk to us about the flavors. Are you fair trade? Are you organic? Like, what's your USP? Like, this isn't really a USP. But like now, like everybody's wanting it, and we're winning accounts because, you know, we're offering this home compostable foil.
I totally agree.
It's off-putting, isn't it? You know, you buy something and you think it can't be recycled. You think, oh, I'm not sure if I should buy that again, even if you love the product.
I've actually steered away from some really brands that I love to other brands because they've got home compost.
Because of the packaging.
Yeah.
It does matter, doesn't it?
It really does.
Thank you so much, Ollie. So interesting. Laura, can you tell me a little bit about your macarons? Not macaroons, which are the
not to be confused.
Coconutty doodahs, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's a real bugbear in the macaron community. You get memes of
huge
macaron, macaroon, and then the French president. Not him either. Definitely not him.
I did not know this was a thing.
It's a huge thing, yeah.
It's a thing.
So for anyone who's, you know, learning or claims to know anything about macarons or macaroons, there are two entirely different products.
I just thought it was just two different pronunciations.
No.
Macaroon's like a snowball that's covered in desiccated coconut.
Condensed milk.
Macaron is the height of patisserie and difficulty. I've done a macaron making class. It's hard. Mine were rubbish. They didn't look like this.
But I mean, and even when you're, in inverted commas, an expert, it can still go wrong on any given day. It could be dependent on the weather.
So, or the eggs not being fresh enough or something.
Exactly. Or
the weather?
The weather. So if it's a rainy day, if it's humid, I change my recipe slightly. Because humidity goes into the egg whites when you're whipping them. It changes the macaronage process. So it can change everything.
The macaronage process.
It's so fiddly. And it's one of those things that you learn and you just learn with time and experience. And the more you make, the more you see it. Sense a good batch from a bad batch.
You, trained chef? Are you?
No.
How did this?
I started. I'm a project manager and bid writer by trade back
Love
in
it.
The day.
Love it.
Gave up the job when I went to go and live with my then husband in Australia. And so found myself, I did get a job out there, but found myself with more time on my hands and wanted to learn something new. Started trying to make them there, failed spectacularly, didn't learn. It was, you know, one of those things you sort of, it was my Everest and I just couldn't do it. And then tried on and off for a few years. My kids were growing up. And then 3 years ago, we separated. I moved into my new house. Both my children were diagnosed with autism. And I realized I needed to find something that could be flexible enough that I could do from my home kitchen. So,
you picked one of the hardest patisserie yeah. items.
I mean, if I can learn to do this, there's nothing I can't.
There's
I
nothing can't else in the world that's that hard.
Exactly. Wow. I had one teeny tiny oven at the time. I've now redone that. So I've now got two ovens I can sort of.
Two teeny tiny ovens
I can work with. And I got my kitchen registered and 5-star rated.
Well done.
Thanks.
Mine would not be.
I figured it out. I did it. I got a few batches consistent. Then I thought, oh, I'll set up a little Instagram account. And just because people love it's that sort of ASMR thing of watching people pipe
macarons.
It's very relaxing to watch. And within a week, I had a local cafe saying, gosh, do you sell them? Would you sell them to me? And I was like, ooh. Yes, I suppose so. And then it sort of just snowballed from there. And then I've got sort of weddings and I stock locally in a couple of shops. There's a
where
shop.
Where is local for you?
I am near Wendover in Buckinghamshire and I stock in a shop in Tring called Maggie's, which was one of the first, which came out of the pandemic as a collective. So she really applauds small businesses, a lot of women makers, and she kind of transformed her shop into then getting lots of small creators in and did really well. So I'm in there. I'm in a shop in Bushy, which is a creative collective as well. Yeah, so I mean, I have peak times, Easter, Valentine's Day, Christmas, they all do incredibly well.
Yeah.
But I think I'd love to reach more people. My online presence is growing. Macarons, again, by their nature, are delicate. So they're hard to ship and you have to ship them next day. You have to keep them chilled to a certain extent when people get them. They have to put them in the fridge.
Oh, I didn't know that you had to keep them in the fridge.
Oh, yes, there's rules. There's rules for macarons. Okay. Yeah, and they're a lengthy process to make. So you make them, but they need to mature for at least 24 hours before you
mature.
Can eat them. Yes. So it means the texture of the macaron will change as the filling expands into the biscuit.
God, I'm telling you, like we're talking about chocolate, and like that's now boring. You know, everyone's going to come at this end of this podcast being like, I've learned so much about macarons, and that you don't call them macaroons, even though they're and so about all these things, and like there was a little bit about chocolate. You know?
Yeah. But it's fascinating as well because the fillings and the colours, they're endless. You can choose. You can start with anything, any colour profile. I'm starting from the basics because I get a lot of requests for pistachio and chocolate and vanilla. And so I thought, well, let's do a classic box of all those sort of classic flavours. And then I thought, well, I'll do a fruity box. So I've done that as well. And then I'm looking towards doing a decadent box. I mean, they are decadent anyway, but I thought, how can I make them even more bougie?
So what are you thinking for the bouginess?
I think there has to be a salted caramel somewhere.
Oh, yes.
There.
Yeah, yeah. I can.
Some gold leaf, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love doing gold leaf and hand-painted.
Oh, my goodness.
I've done hand-painted designs as well, which are really fun. They're lovely for weddings or christenings.
I hope you charge a fortune for those because they sound incredible.
They are, and they're time consuming to paint, but they are the lovely. And that's one of my most favorite things is somebody brings a customer comes to me and says, oh, I've seen this on Pinterest, can you make this? And it has to look exactly the same. Don't change it in any way. This has to look exactly the same color, same paint. But actually, I kind of like that. I really enjoy the challenge.
Ooh, lavender.
I've done lavender.
Done a lavender.
I've done
talking
a
about
lavender
chocolate.
And it's lovely. Yeah. London Fog is one I really like. I'm a tea fiend. I love a cup of tea. And actually,
London Fog.
Yeah.
So what's it's that? Like it's an Earl Grey or something.
Yeah. It's like an infused black tea or Earl Grey tea
nice.
With heavy on vanilla as well. And you mix it into a cream and make a ganache from that. It's really Moorish.
That's
I've
amazing.
Actually done one with Yorkshire tea, and it is like having a little cup of mini cup of tea. Sweet cup of tea in a macaron. It's delicious. It's one of my favourites.
So you take
personalised commissions as well as just
and the standard boxes.
And
yes.
the standard boxes. Yeah. I'm desperate
so
to get in to try these
I feel
like flavours.
We should start with the chocolate one to link to the seed and bean that we've
go
just been
it.
Trying.
Yep, have a go.
I have no idea what we've got in front
here
of us.
Here we are. So this is a chocolate here. Got vanilla and then pistachio.
I mean, I'm going to go for all of them, aren't I?
So if they're well, yeah. If they're depending on how they're mature, they should have a chew.
Good crunch with a chewy centre.
Oh, that's delicious.
I'd say that's perfect macaron.
Thank you.
Really yeah, good. It's delicious. Thank you. Absolutely delicious.
Thank you. They are. They're quite moorish because they're made with almonds. They're light and it's egg white. So actually, you do find yourself sort of. Oh, I'll just have
okay,
another
also
bite.
Also, didn't
one.
Know they were made from almonds. What else?
They are. Yes.
What else are we learning about?
So they are. It's effectively it's egg whites in a meringue form mixed with almond flour. So the finer you can get your flour, that's another thing that can change the consistency as well as where you get your almond flour from
and how wet it is
and how wet it is, how oily. Because that's the thing with you can't have any oil or grease or butter or anything anywhere close to anything you're making. Everything has to be lined with vinegar. Which you'd think would make everything taste of vinegar, but it doesn't. It's just
cleanses
absolutely everything. Yeah.
I've got a green one here that looks incredible.
So that's a pistachio.
Incredible.
Does
well.
It? What? Yeah. What's it like?
It's just chewy and crunchy and sweet and just kind of everything you want in a in something that's it's sweet. It's
So you can yeah. You
the
can
pistachio cream reminds me of those. Do you know the sort of cannelloni biscuit things that you get in Italy?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Filled with pistachio cream.
Yes, gosh, what are they called?
The centre of this tastes just like that.
Oh, thank you.
Really good.
Pistachios
love a macaron.
They're the hot thing at the moment, aren't they?
They are very sexy.
You can actually make. I haven't done it yet, but you can actually make them with pistachio flour. Rather than almond flour. But
I did not know there was such a thing.
It's been a very educational podcast.
It's been a very educational podcast.
On macarons.
Yeah, and there are some makers who do vegan ones. I'm not quite there yet, but they can be made.
What, using aquafaba or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you tried the vegan ones?
No, I haven't. I'm just sticking.
Yeah,
I'm
I wonder if the flavour of the sort of chickpea comes through at all or...
It could. I mean, it could. Well, I always just assume that vegans have their palates adjusted to that sort of.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point.
It's got a slight bitter back note. I think it may well do.
So I've got the orange one here.
That's mango.
Oh, it's not orange at all.
Is that why it doesn't taste like orange? Was that what you were about to say? Really, doesn't taste like
orange. It looks orange.
Is orange,
yes,
but the flavour is mango
curd. So it's an I've made an eggless
curd.
Yeah, so I've made
and
my
then,
own curd.
And then out on the outside a
is
cream.
A buttercream.
A buttercream. Yeah, that is.
So you
you've
need to
made
sort of
it yourself,
it.
All of
yes.
it. The curd,
yes.
the cream.
Yes. I make absolutely everything. The jams, the fillings, everything. All first principles.
I will say thank you for having me today. Because I could have come at a different time and there might have been a different product, but I feel I've come at a perfect time to enjoy all of this.
Well, I was very fortunate and I had a very, very clever grandma who taught me how to make jams from sort of knee high to a grasshopper. So I'm fairly comfortable making different kinds of jams and things like that. But I actually found my son likes jams a lot, and I actually find buying those big bags of the wonky fruit from Tesco's and Sainsbury's. They do them in these kilogram bags, but they have red currants in them as well, which gives them a really lovely sour and sweet tinge to the whole fruit. So this is why this is a berry one rather than a raspberry or a strawberry. It's like a mixed berry one. So you could get a little bit of blackberry, you could get a little bit of red currant, and it's all mixed in together. It's really nice. Yeah.
And I saw that you said that you actually don't like sweet things.
I'm not actually
hilarious.
No, give me a packet of Watsits and I'm your girl. Yeah, no, I by my nature I'm not particularly sweet toothed. But obviously, I will do a bit of quality control, obviously. I'm not a particularly fruity person, if I'm honest. Mm. So I go with, I will obviously make things to request and all the fruit that's here. But yeah, no, I couldn't sit and eat all of that. Again, crisps
I really
are my
could,
thing.
Especially this chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, these are, I have to say, it's really, the caramel chocolate bar is very Moorish, I have to say. I could sit and wallop that down.
Not eat the whole thing. Do you know what? I'm actually thinking like the...
I'm going to steal the sea salt
the sea
and lime.
Sea salt and lime. I'd like to make a chocolate mousse out of that.
Ooh.
I think that would be really nice.
Actually, you could make a sort of... If I use them for... I could make a sort of cocktail themed. And you could do a margarita or you could do a tequila slam or something.
Yeah. cocktail themed ones. Oh yes, the mojito one with the mint and the stuff. Yeah,
I could do.
We got a mint flavour as well. We got them all at Seaton Bean. So we just.
You've got a mint flavour.
Yeah, we got a mint flavour. Yeah.
Perfect. Collaboration.
And the beauty of macarons was they're all gluten free.
Amazing.
So
love it
for anyone
Absolutely
who has
love it.
It's so just incredible.
Tell us quickly about these as well.
Yes. So in the shop where I stock, I do love making a sugar cookie, and I do them for my kids. And I started doing paint your own cookies, and they went absolutely bananas before Christmas. I think I sold 100 of them. And I've designed all the packaging, which has instructions on.
Just to explain, it's a cardboard backing, and then in it you've got a biscuit with a design on the front.
Yes.
And in the back you've got a bamboo
paintbrush.
Yep. And some duet. So yes. It's a palette of different colours, and you wet it, and then you can use that to paint onto the biscuit.
Yes.
Incredible. I mean, it's just
you just dip a little bit of water in, and your kids or whoever wants to can paint the cookie, and they can be in anything. So you can do flowers, you can do unicorns, anything. Christmas time, I had a gingerbread house with quite a detailed design, and they just
went out. Brilliant.
Because they're brilliant. Especially if you're popping out and you need an activity for your kid at the table, and you don't really want them, looking at
and
the screen or whatever.
And it's a party favour, isn't it? Party gift for the end of the thing.
Because I'm already eyeing them up.
I know. I bet you are.
Another string to my bow is sort of learning how to be a graphic designer and design cards and instructions and things. So yeah, I do have ones that say thank you for coming to my party, and they can come in. You know, fairyland or woodland theme or mermaid theme or pirates, whatever.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for that. Just before we go, though, Seed and Bean, where can we buy it?
Online, obviously. Ocado, Waitrose, but Waitrose, we only got two flavours. Ocado, a bit more of a, I think they've got about 7 or 8 flavours in Ocado. Best is to go online. You can get every single one of our flavours. We're in Grape Tree, which is, they have 140 stores across the UK. And then lots of farm shops and delis, independents. That's our bread and butter, the indies of this world. It's a very competitive place to be in the chocolate world. So
get out there and buy.
Yes, please do.
That'd be lime.
Lovely. You guys everywhere, but then I think I shop at those kind of shops.
I always get people like, oh, you know, I'm in holiday, you know, this place. And I'm like, they're like, oh, you must know it's in this store. And I was like, I don't know where it is. Mm. You know, we sell to our wholesalers, and obviously, thank you to everyone who buys from the wholesalers and stock their stores. So we are all over the UK. Yeah, farm shops, delis, Waitrose, Grape Tree.
Yeah, Ocado. Brilliant. Thank you so much. I can't believe we're out of time. I feel like we could chat for hours. But thank you so much for coming in, Ollie Short from Seed and Bean.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you too to Laura Hickman from Little Miss Macaroon for coming on the show.
Macaron.
Oh my gosh.
After all of this.
That's it.
Dear.
I'm fired.
You are.
I quit in shame. What was your social media handle?
I am Little Miss Macaron on Instagram, on Facebook, TikTok, and on www.littlemissmacaron.com if you wanted to order boxes or cookies. Yes.
Get in touch with Laura. Thank you so much for coming on, everyone, and thank you again to Georgie, my lovely co-host and producer of the show. You've been listening to Food Rebels, which is available on radio stations around the UK. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and any other podcasting platform on your phone. Please remember to subscribe and rate us 5 stars. It makes a big difference. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you taste the rebellion.